And we thank you that you have included us in your great plan. And you died for each one of us. And because of that, we have never been the same. We thank you. We praise you. Bless the words spoken today to your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so thankful for this weekend where we emphasize health. Dr. Arnott, just again, thank you for being with us. I want to continue in that theme as we talk about health, but I have to come from a different angle. So I ask you to indulge me as I speak to the message, healing for a look, healing for a look. It's such a rich, health is such a rich and wonderful blessing. We spend so much time watching our health, but do you take time to enjoy your health? When we came from the hands of the Creator, God did something very special. He created us with the glow of good health. And when you read the early accounts of the scriptures, you'll find no record of a natural death as it relates to infancy. You'll find that there was no incident of disease where humans died from. And that is because God put within us the gift of good, glowing, wonderful health. Amen. Then sin came into this world. And so now we look at health totally different. And there was a need for healing because of sin. And God instituted a plan of restoration. And we know the scriptures speak about healing and miracles and health. And the Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." We know that passage from 1 John. That is full of miracles and healing that Jesus did for people. Healing their soul and healing their hearing and helping their mobility and helping them with mental health issues. All of that was a part of Christ's ministry. So why in the world would you see this particular story that I'm going to share with you in the Bible? Numbers chapter 21, if you're telling the Bible, there's a little story to you. Numbers chapter 21. Why this story, then? Numbers chapter 21. I'd like to consider verses 4 through 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to start reading at verse 4 of Numbers chapter 21. "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very happy." "Very discouraged on the way, and the people spoke against them." Anybody? You mean somebody with deaf speak against God? "They spoke against Gideon, and they spoke against Pastor Jones." Help us, Lord. Oh, help us. Against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we need that manna." "But you've been raining from the sky." We hear it. So the Lord did something unusual. Edom was a place of the time in that area where it was a horrible desert. And yet it blew water, and of course they're bad. They didn't come up. But the Israelites do that.
I used to tell my commanding officer as a chaplain, I said, listen here, sir, I will not come to you just over regular complaining, because that is a part of the culture of the military. It's been great. And I thought we kind of laugh about it. I always complain about the chow, and it was good. I've never eaten so well in all my life, and they're just complaining. But it's a part of the culture. So I know sometimes it's a part of the culture to complain. So God, why would you react in this way? All I know, it must have been really bad, because the Bible says that God sent snakes. Use the word fiery serpents, serpents that that had a sting, that gave you such an inflammation that it caused death rapidly. Some fiery serpents. When I was reading a commentary of Patriarchs and Prophets, it said that as a result of that, that in the camp of Israel, in their tents, there were dead and dying in every tent. And so when that happened, all of a sudden, everything else seemed very pale in comparison to taking care of dead people and the dying. And so they humbled themselves and they came to Moses and said, Moses, pray for us. And then Moses said, I'm not praying for y'all. Y'all just got through criticizing me. Is that what Moses said? No, Moses said, okay, I'll pray for you. Like a good leader, he says, I'll pray for them. Pray that the Lord will take away the serpents. But you know what's strange? That the remedy, the answer. See, God commanded Moses to make a brass or copper representation of a serpent. Set it on a pole so the people could see it. And if the people would just look, they'd be healed. Does anything make sense in this story? You know, sometimes our trust in God must be independent of our understanding. Nothing wrong with understanding. But be careful about leaning on our ability to comprehend. You see, because sooner or later, something will happen in our intellect that will cause, that we will have absolutely no answer for. When I was in Nebraska, Dr. Arnott, there was a lady, and I won't call her name. In fact, it was a family, and they were a godly family. They were a good family. They lived to the principles, health principles. They ate right and they lived right. They were just good people, good, clean people. The family was devastated, and I was devastated by the facts because of this. I'm not sure why in the world she got lung cancer and just died. Eating right, praying right, doing right, living right, died of lung cancer, untimely death. We have to acknowledge sometimes that God makes sense even when he doesn't. Let me say something. I appreciate, I want you to follow everything that Dr. Arnott says this weekend regarding health. That's my prayer. I was praying last night when he showed the eggs up there. I said, Lord, help me. I know I need to probably, you know, make some directions in that area. I'm praying for healing. But you know, you can eat right. Do everything right. And the doctor will tell you you have cancer. And you know, because you've heard stories like that. There are times that we face things under God And as we practice health principles, you've got to know that, Adventist. Because if you do not know that, Adventist Christian, and you hear all of the wonderful things that we ought to do, and you still end up sick, it's going to really throw you for a loop. Oftentimes, things happen to us that are very strange and distressing. You don't think that Abraham was distressed by the fact that after praying all these years for a son, that God would tell him to sacrifice his son? God would tell you to do some strange thing. And what I found, and you may not agree, but I found it to be so, the greatest destroyer or the challenge to faith is timing. It never seems to come at the right time. You can get sick at the worst time. Look like the bank account is the lowest when you get sick. Well, somebody else is sick. Things happen at the wrong time. And they challenge our faith. Well, it's an issue of faith. And it'll make the strongest person question. Remember John the Baptist? Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another? Proverbs ask us to not to lean on our own understanding. Second-day Adventist Christian, Proverbs says, be careful about trying to lean on your own ability to make the pieces fit. Because you're going to find that they don't always fit. Amen? Not like it was.
Thank you.
500 individuals for 10 years, and we found out that individuals that did something for others at least once a week greatly expanded their life expectancy. Eat right. Embrace the principles of health. But to embrace it without Jesus is for naught. I venture to say we probably have people who have embraced the health principle, and it would be a tragedy if we've never embraced Jesus. Jesus wants you to live. I read someplace that our faith must be greater than our ignorance. And I had an experience with that years ago. I was a mechanic. I don't like to tell people this because I'm not a mechanic anymore. Well, I'm afraid that someone might ask me about something on their car, and I don't have the obvious clue. You see, when I was in Nebraska, I had a 1968 Dodge Charger. It was the kind that you can roll the windows down. It had no air conditioning, and when you open the hood, there was still room in there, and you could look down and see the ground. The car had points. Some of you don't even know what that is. Because they have electronic ignition now, so I'm really out of my head. So you don't know anything about cars today. But then I knew a little about cars. I was an aircraft mechanic in the Air Force. I worked on jet aircraft. So I knew a little about mechanics. So I could kind of work on my own car, you know. So I would fool around with my Charger, keep it running and travel. But there was one time, well, that car just wouldn't start. I mean, I would just turn that key and it would just be cranking and cranking and nothing would happen. And I mean, I was angry. And I would just keep on till the battery would run dry, trying to make it start. And it just wouldn't start. Until one day I met someone that really knew about cars. He was a real mechanic. And I gave the car over to him. We took $10 worth of spark plug rods. You see, because it only happened, they asked me a bunch of questions, and it only happened when it rained. So anybody you know, you get moisture in there, your wires need to change it. Simple fix. A real mechanic knew. He took that and he took that car and he really, really fixed it. There's some of you here today that need real fixing. I'm not talking about blatant fixing. You like to hide behind blatant and all the other stuff? Some of you need real fixing that only Jesus can do. Jesus wants you to look at him. Once and for all, and get it right. How many of you will allow you to be honest enough in the presence of God, by the Son and by the Holy Spirit, will be honest enough to say that there's something inside of you that God needs to do? Maybe it's not so much that the snake is not the snake, the alligator, but just that the bear.